It's good to be in church, isn't it? I was looking down here to make sure I had two waters. Y'all remember last time I spoke here, I went over just a couple of minutes and I said, I owe you a couple of minutes. Well, I just as soon owe you as cheat you out of them, so you won't get them tonight either. Sorry. I was running a little late getting here tonight. Sorry, let me fix this real quick. I messed it up. I was running a little late tonight. Sarah was driving to make sure we got here on time. She was speeding a little bit and got pulled over. Yeah, I know. It was terrible. The officer came up and he was like, you were going fast enough. I'm going to have to write you a ticket. And he said, what's your first name? And she said, Frida. And he said, what's your last name? And she said, go, ma'am. And he said, you're free to go, ma'am. And she said, thank you. And we got here on time. That didn't happen, and I only told you that joke because she can't hear back there when they're in the back. So, sorry. My jokes don't get any better, but, you know, I just keep telling them. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about something that, isn't that awesome? Our communications team does such a great job. Give them a hand. Yeah. I want to talk to you about walking in love 24 feet deep. Yeah, I told a couple of people my title, and it was a little confusing for them, I think. You know, what walking in love 24 feet deep. But I'll tell you how I came up with my title. And this is usually how I start a message. The Lord will just drop something in my heart, just a few words about something, and then he'll follow that up with a scripture. And I had been meditating on God's love, just how far-reaching God's love is. We sing that song here, that how high, how wide, how deep is your love. And I like to take personal inventory. I think it's important that you do that. Sometimes it's a little tough, but it is important that we do it. Isn't that right? And I was just taking personal inventory about my love walk. God, am I, you know, if your love is so wide and it's so deep and it's so high, how am I measuring up? That's what I'm looking for. How am I doing? And I heard these words in my heart. He said, all you need is a love that's 24 feet deep. And then he said, look at John chapter 13. So I want to read John chapter 13 to you tonight. Now, you probably know this passage of scripture in John. The last chapters of John, we know John chapters 13 through the end of the book. This is right before Jesus leaves. His earthly ministry is finishing up, and he's with the disciples, and he's spending time with them. And, you know, you've heard it said before. I know I've heard people talk about when you're at the end of your life, you kind of cut away all this other stuff, and you talk about the important things. I remember when my own dad went home to be with the Lord. As much as my dad liked to fish, he liked a good joke, lots of things that my dad and I could talk about, but when he was leaving, those weren't the things that we were talking about. I wanted to make sure I left nothing unsaid. You know, my dad was born again, and you know, thank God. I remember having a conversation with him in the hospital, and he was crying, and I was crying, because I'm having to say goodbye here. And I said, you know, Dad, the good thing about us is, I said, we've got forever. And he cried and said, that's right, we do. You know, this message that I'm going to share with you tonight, it's about the subject of love. And sometimes people would rather hear a message about faith or getting all fired up or, you know, kicking the devil in the neck or something like that, you know. But sometimes we don't get as excited about love. But if faith works by love, how important is it? And you know, I had the Lord, I love when the Lord speaks to you about things that just really, it's heavy revelation to you. And, you know, you think you know some things after a while in ministry and just pondering one day, had the Lord speak to my heart and say, he said, value people more than anything else because they're the only thing you can take to heaven with you. Well, that's directly tied to our love walk, isn't it? Because if we don't show people value, if we don't care enough about people, then there's no way. I don't know about you, but there's nobody in my life that I want to have to say goodbye to. Right? And the only people that we're ever going to have to say goodbye to are going to be the people in our lives that are not born again. Oh, amen, brother. That's true. Isn't that true? Yeah. John chapter 13, so he's talking to the disciples at the end of his earthly ministry. He says this, beginning with verse 1. It says, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, he should depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved his own in the world, he loved them to the end. When supper had ended, the devil, now having put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and went to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and then to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Verse 6 says, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, you don't know now what I do now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said unto him, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed has no need except to wash his feet, but is clean everywhit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and reclined again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me the teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If then I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. And then skip down to verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new command that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one another toward one another. So at the end of his earthly ministry, we see him loving people. And you know, I don't know about you, but I think about things like, you know, what do you do in the world? What do people do when they're at their end of their lives? There was a movie a number of years ago called The Bucket List. Anybody remember that movie, The Bucket List? And in that movie, The Bucket List, I looked it up. Here's some of the things that they were doing when they knew that their hour had come and they didn't have much time left. They wanted to witness something truly majestic, laugh until they cried. Drive a Shelby Mustang. Kiss the most beautiful girl in the world. Get a tattoo. Skydiving. Visit Stonehenge. Drive a motorcycle on the Great Wall of China. Go on a safari. Visit the Taj Mahal. Go to the Great Pyramids in Egypt. Find the joy in their life and try that special Kapi Luwak coffee. I don't know if you guys know what that is or not, but it's this coffee that this little animal eats the berries, and then after it digests them, they make coffee out of the seeds. I've tried that. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Can you believe that's $31 a cup? I know. That's ridiculous. I didn't pay for it. But notice their list has lots of things they wanted to do. You remember probably a few years back a country song where a guy went skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, spent 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And he put all of those things, to his credit, he does say he learned to love deeper after that. But everything he did in his last hours was putting himself first. But we see Jesus here doing what he always did, serving. He's serving the disciples. I would say we're probably doing better than most of the people that are in the world, but sometimes we have a difficulty putting the needs of our brothers and sisters over our own, but Jesus was our example. Just washing, though, the majority of the disciples' feet, that wasn't enough. You could arguably say that when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, that he was walking in some love about 22 feet deep. But I find it very interesting that there were two other feet that were there as well, and those were the feet of the one who would betray him. Sometimes it's tough enough for us to walk in 22 feet of love with people that are sitting in the pew next to us that we ought to be loving because they're the easy ones to love. Isn't that right? But guys, I've been in churches before where I had cousins who sat down the pew from one another that wouldn't speak. I taught a whole series on love, and at the end of it, still no words between them. But we're called to do more than just love 22 feet deep. Jesus not only washed the feet of all the other disciples, he washed Judas's feet before Judas went to betray him. Jesus said, going looking back at that scripture again, it says, "You don't know what I do now, but you'll know hereafter." Skipping down, he says, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said, "He who is bathed has no need except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew. Everybody say, he knew. He knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You're not all clean." So after he washed their feet. Can we extend love to the unlovely? Can we extend love beyond the people that it's easy to love? You know, in this 22 feet, I was thinking about the depth of this love and what it takes to get to that 24 feet deep. And I remembered we had gone on a cruise one time, and we went to Mexico as part of our cruise. Anybody ever go cruising? Man, yeah, it's fun times. They give you way too much food, and I was challenged to eat as much of it as I possibly could. I think that's why my wife hasn't let me go back. But one of the stops was in Mexico. Now, on those cruises, they pay, you know, you pay for the ticket and you get all of your food, but they have these excursions too. And those excursions are a little more expensive. And I just couldn't see, I wanted to go snorkeling so bad. But I just couldn't see spending the money they were going to charge to do it. And I thought, you know, I'll find a better deal. So we ended up going to this tiny resort, and sure enough, some guy was walking down the beach and he was offering discount snorkeling trips. Now, I don't know if I recommend that or not, but I paid a little less and I went with this guy on a snorkeling trip. And I'm here, you know, I survived it, but it wasn't the best trip. But he took us out into 30 foot of water. And we were snorkeling and we were looking around at the bottom, and it was clear at 30 foot. You could see everything. We saw what they called eagle stingrays. We saw a nurse shark go by. And then the guy pointed down like this, and there was something on the bottom that he could see that I couldn't see. And he dove down to get it. And as he started going down, I thought, you know, I'm going to follow him. I know how to swim. So I dove too, and I went, and I got maybe 10 feet down, and the pressure overwhelmed me. I couldn't go any further. My ears felt like they were going to burst. I could feel all the tightness. You know why? Because in water with depth, there's pressure. You know, when you start trying to walk in love beyond just your average love walk, the further you try to go in love, the more pressure the enemy will bring against you to try to keep you from going deeper. He wants to make it hard for you to get deeper in love, because the deeper you go in love, if we're called to love this 24 feet deep, see, you understand now, compared to what Jesus did, dying for the sins of the whole world, 24 feet deep ain't so bad. That's just walking in love with the people in our little world. But the more that we try to press in and go deeper in our love walk, the more the enemy seems to bring pressure from the outside to kind of crush us in. Why? Because when we start going deeper and we feel the pressure, the tendency is, just like that day that I was in that water, to want to come back up to the top, to kind of back off just a little bit. But I'm here to tell you that you and I are called to love deeper than just 22 feet. We got to love 24 feet deep. Scripture says this in Matthew 5, beginning with verse 43. I don't think I talk fast enough, or the time is elapsing too quickly. Sorry, guys. Matthew 5, verse 43, it says, "You've heard that it's been said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For you love them which love you, what reward do you have? For don't even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what more do you do than others? Don't even the publicans do so?" So here, Jesus is telling us that we're not only to love those that we call our neighbor or our friend, but even those who use and abuse us. Walking in love is a deliberate choice we make that may not be very popular with our flesh. But here's some news for you. Every born-again person should love like Jesus loved because it's a command. And we can love like Jesus loved. It's a possibility. You know the scripture, one of my favorite scriptures is in Romans 5. Romans 5, beginning with verse 5, it says this. It says, "Hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us." Verse 6 says, "For we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one. Yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." While we were sinners, Jesus died for us. You know, I used to have this idea that Jesus died for cleaned up church folks. But he didn't die for cleaned up church folks. You just came into the church and got cleaned up. But while you were a sinner, he loved you. How much? How much did he love you? Enough to lay down his life? Enough to give himself up on our behalf. He loved us so much. God loved us so much. For God so loved a couple of y'all that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And Jesus, you remember when Jesus was asked, he said, "No man takes my life from me. I willingly lay it down." He laid down his life when you were a sinner, when there wasn't anything that your friends probably didn't even like you all that much. I mean, my friends, I forgot, Preacher 101, I should say us, our friends, I'm included in that too. Back in the day, you weren't the cleaned up Christian folk that you are today. Maybe you annoyed people. Maybe you were bothersome when you were at your worst. He looked at you and saw you at your best. Oh, glory to God. While we were sinners, he died for us. Here's my first point to you. Don't let circumstance stop you from walking in love. Never let circumstance stop you from walking in love. Just the same as when you were a sinner and Jesus died for you, when somebody harms you or hurts you or abuses you, you have to make a decision that no matter what, I'm pressing through and I'm walking in love anyway. I'm not going to let circumstances stop me from walking in love. Look over in Luke 6. It's the parallel passage to the scripture we just read in Matthew 5. And it says it this way. It says, "For if you love those," beginning with verse 32, "if you love those who love you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to those who you hope to receive, what thanks do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward shall be great in heaven, and you shall be the sons of the highest, for he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." You know, it's interesting that scripture says this, if you love them that love you, what good is it? Don't sinners do that? If you love people that treat you kindly, if I love people that treat me kindly, if I can walk in 22 feet deep love, I'm just as good as any sinner. Isn't that what he said? If you love those that love you, what good is that? Everybody can do that. Sinners can do that. But this Romans 5 love of God that's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost gives us the means to be able to love beyond what just anybody can do. We have this love that we can take to the world that has been poured into us by the Holy Ghost that's been given unto us. We're a container, a vessel for the love of God that changes the world. That gets me excited. That gets me excited. You know, when people get bent out of shape about how they say, well, you know, they took God out of the courthouse. They took God out of the schoolhouse. They're taking God out of everything. I don't get worked up about that. You know why? Because I got the Spirit of God on the inside of me and I got the love of God on the inside of me. And if they can't keep me out, they can't keep him out. And he was smart enough to know that when he put his Spirit within us. Amen. Glory to God. Walking in love is not this. The last passage or last part of that verse says this. Verse 36 says, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Walking in love is not about justice. You know, it seems like everyone's always calling for justice, but usually only for ourselves. Give me justice for myself. Somebody harms me, I want justice. You owe me, give me my justice. But it's interesting, when we mess up and we go to God, I don't ever hear anybody on their knees saying, give me justice, God. We ask for mercy. Hello? I'm preaching right now better than your amen. I've never gone to God. I've messed up a few times in my life. Ask my wife. I've made mistakes in my life. I've made errors. I've never gone to God and said, God, give me what I deserve for this. I go and I put my face in the carpet and I say, God, the seeds that I have sown, I'm plucking them up. Forgive me. Give me mercy. We ought to be asking for mercy, not justice for those who harm us. Luke 22, beginning with verse 33. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, I find it very interesting. If he's our example, and he said that you're to love as what I have done, he said you should do this as well. I find it interesting that when Jesus was on the cross, they were crucifying him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They pierced his side. He didn't look up to the heavens and say, God, give them all justice. Give them what they deserve. That's not what he said. Luke 23, verse 33, it says, when they came to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on the right and one on the left. Verse 34 says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And parting his clothes, they cast lots. Jesus is praying for those who were responsible for his crucifixion. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes people are like, yeah, but that was Jesus. You know, Jesus can do that. But the reason that he gave us that Romans 5:5 love that's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit is so we can too. He gave us that love so we can't say, well, only Jesus could do that, because we can too. It was love that caused him to cry out for mercy over judgment. For him to take on the sins of the world and not to lay it to their charge. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60, it's the same love that Stephen said when he was being stoned. And he said, Father, don't lay this to their charge. He looked like Jesus. They were stoning him, and he said, and I always find it interesting that, you know, the scripture tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, but it says that he stood up to receive Stephen. Something about the love of God that caused Jesus to stand up to receive him when he came home. We ought to be looking for mercy over justice. Situations don't determine my ability to forgive others. People can be treating me worse than I've ever been treated, and we can still walk in love towards them. Notice that phrase, Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do. Here's the second point that I have for you tonight. It's this, always choose to believe the best about other people. If I'm going to say this because, you know, it could have happened since I've been here, and I've got that Rhema sticker on the back of my car. If I've ever cut you off in traffic, it was an accident. I would never deliberately harm you. But if you and I live our lives just saying when somebody causes us harm, cuts us off in traffic, says something hurtful to us, if we just make a decision that if they knew better, they'd do better, it's a lot easier to forgive them. You know, everybody who cuts you off in traffic is not thinking about you. Sorry. Right? I mean, I used to have that attitude. You cut me off in traffic. Who do you think you are? Get in front of me and slow down like that. They don't even know me. Maybe they're not even aware I'm back there. Isn't that right? I mean, have you ever accidentally cut somebody off? You know. We saw somebody the other day. We were driving down the road, and man, they were one person pulled out in front of the other one, so the one in the back was going to teach him a lesson, and so they were riding up on their bumper and stuff. It's a good way to cause an accident. What if they didn't do it on purpose? What if you just said, I don't know, Lord, forgive them. I'm sure they didn't know what they did. Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do. Choose to believe the best in other people. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says this in the Amplified. It says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, and it's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. It's ever ready to believe the best about every person, and it endures everything without weakening. Always be ready to believe the best about people because it'll make them a whole lot easier to love. According to Jesus, the head of the church, what's our responsibility towards people? Matthew 5:44, going back to that scripture, it says this. This is our responsibility for people when they harm us, when they do good to us, when they're mean to us, however they treat us, this is our responsibility. I say unto you, love your enemies. Everybody say love. Love. Bless them that curse you. Everybody say bless. Do good to them that hate you. Everybody say, do good. And pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. Everybody say, pray for them. Love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them is our responsibility when somebody brings us harm. And I can promise you this, it's a whole lot easier to love somebody when you're praying for them. What if instead of assuming the worst in people when they did something wrong to us, we assumed the best and said, you know what, they probably didn't even know what they did. And if they did, well, what a miserable existence that might be. Lord, would you help them? I'm asking you right now to do something to bring people across their path that would help them to experience your love like they've never experienced. What if we did that instead? Could we get over it a little quicker? Woo, glory, you're just preaching real good right now, brother. Come on, shake that bush one more time. Glory to God. Our part to play is to love, to bless, to do good, and pray. Us getting out of love does nothing to bridge the gap that strife can cause in our lives. And it's real hard to hurt people when you got your hands in your pockets. Here's the last thing. This will get easier as we do it. How do we love deeper? How do we go beyond the first 22 feet in love? How do we love that person who just... And right now you're like, I don't even know if I have that person in my life. When I started talking about this message tonight and that person that came through your mind, that's who I'm talking about. That one that you've been dealing with at work, that every time they say something, it's like nails on a chalkboard to you, just grinds you. always trying to get ahead of you, that's the person I'm talking about. When that person is mistreating you and you show them kindness, you pray for them, you exercise love, that's going just a little bit deeper. That's going that last 2 foot and getting into 24 feet of love. Exercise love for it to consistently grow. Exercise love consistently and it'll grow. According to the 5th chapter of Galatians, love is a fruit, isn't that right? But just the same as love can grow, so can your flesh. I mean, it's just a matter of fact that whatever you feed is going to get bigger, right? You know, I mean, if you're a cat person, you're going to not like that. I'm going to tell you that I'm not a big cat fan. I can enjoy them from a distance. If you have one, I love your cat at your house. Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about your cat. I mean, you know, they're the cat's pajamas as far as I'm concerned. But if a cat comes up to my house and strays up and comes up on the back porch and I tell my wife, I wish that cat would get out of here, it's spraying everywhere, and I go inside and I open up a can of food and I dump it and I put it on the back porch. And then the next day it shows up again. I'm like, oh, that cat's back, Sarah. Oh, I wish that cat would go away. Only this time I had gone to the store and bought cat food and I put it out there in a little toy with a bell in it. I didn't want to get rid of that cat. I just bought myself a cat. Why? Because you feed it, it's yours. If you're having a hard time walking in love right now because you've been feeding your flesh, it's time to start feeding your spirit just a little bit more and exercising the love of God, and it'll get easier to do. Amen? Some people feel like, well, you know, I just got something to say, and so I'm going to say it. That's just me. That's just my personality. I'm just real. Real? Carnal. I'm talking to me now, not y'all. Brother Rob, stop being so carnal. Amen, brother. Okay, sorry. That was all for me. No, if you're doing that, is it right? Just because it's been yours or my pattern of behavior? It's 7 o'clock. Y'all give me 2 more minutes and I'll owe you that, okay? You're not getting it back either. But I'm going to close. The Lord spoke to my heart once. It's been many years ago, and I'll share the story with you, and then we'll close. He spoke to my heart. There was a guy who had done something to me at work, and man, he made me mad. He worked at a remote site. I was working at one location. He was working at another location. And I thought, like, I'd been sending people to him. I'd be like, oh, you just need to call Jimmy for that. Jimmy will take care of that. That's his real name. I'm not telling you his last name, but Jimmy's his real name. So you just need to call Jimmy. And he'll take care of that. Yeah, Jimmy takes care of that. I was telling people that all the time. One day, this lady was in my office, and I said, well, what you need to do is if you'll just call this, and I wrote his number, I said, you just call Jimmy, and I said, he'll help you with that, because I thought it was his job. And she said, Jimmy said you'd say that. I called him yesterday, and he said to tell you that y'all need to stop giving out his number. I'm real good at customer service. I am. Like, I got a game face. I said, he did? Yes. She said, it's not his job to do that. I said, you know what? Let me see if I can find another number for you. And so I gave her another number. And I thought, like the old Pentecostals used to say, that get back spirit got a hold of me. I was about to get somebody. I was about to fire off an email to his boss that was going to rip into him. If I let myself, I could still get worked up about it, and I've been over it for years. And I'm, man, in my head, I'm already writing the email. I'm sitting at my desk getting ready to draft this email, and here's what I heard right down on the inside. Either you can fight your battles or I can. But you got to choose. Well, if the scripture says love works no ill to his neighbor, and love is the fulfilling of the law, now I've got a decision to make. He said, what'd you do? I sent an email. But in that email, here's what I said. To his boss, to whom it may concern, for the last several months, I've been sending people to one of your employees incorrectly. It wasn't their job to take care of this issue, and I'm only finding out today that it's not their job. I want to tell you that it's commendable that you have an employee that would go that long and do the job of someone else without ever saying a word. And I meant every word of that. 6 months was a long time, but the Lord showed me a different perspective on that. He had just reached his boiling point. Maybe he was walking in love as far as he could. The pressure was too much, and he just popped the top. So I sent it, and I said, I knew there was an awards program. I'm putting him in for, it was called a hard charger award. I'm putting him in for a hard charger. It was like a free lunch and a coffee cup or something. So I sent that, and this was the email I got back. Rob, December 14th, 2007, 9:21 a.m. Hey, this is Jimmy. Just wanted to let you know it's more than fine for you to keep sending calls my way. I'm more than happy to help you and everyone else down there in any way. The other day, there was a lady that called and was a little rude, and she wanted an intake appointment, so I asked her to let you guys know what intake's number was. But then, of course, that started some problems with the intake girls and all that crud. So if you don't mind, just keep on sending them to me. If you have any questions, please feel free and continue to call me. Wanted to apologize to you about this woman and asking her to tell you guys about a different number. I was out of line. Wanted you to know that I personally apologize for that. Like I said, please just continue to give them to me and feel free to use my number, and he included it. Take care, buddy, and have a good Christmas. That could have went a whole lot different. But love works no ill to his neighbor. There are going to be people in our lives all the time. As long as we're in this earth, there are going to be people that believe something different politically than you do. But no punching them in the eye, not literally, not online. Love them. It's not right doctrine that leads men to repentance. It's the goodness of God. People need the goodness of God before they'll ever listen to your doctrine. People need to experience the love of God through you before they're ever going to listen to anything that we say. But if we take steps in love, if we choose to go just a little bit deeper, can I go just 2 more feet? If I'm exercising love to my family, to my church family, to my kids, to my spouse, if I'm exercising love with these people who it should be easy, but then somebody harder, can I just push against the pressure just 2 more feet? Can I just go just a little deeper? Exercise love just a little longer, just a little farther, just a little more. To build bridges instead of walls in people's lives. Jesus didn't ask you to lay down your life for the entire world. He did it. He just told you to love those that are in your world daily. To do what he did in your small part. Just our small part. And that's to love 24 feet deep. Let me pray for you tonight. Father God, I did my best to give the message that you gave me this evening. How important it is that all of us walk in love, Lord, towards those in our lives. Even those, Lord, that don't treat us so kind or so lovely. I pray for every person within the sound of my voice tonight. They're here right now, and as I was speaking, there was somebody that popped to the top, Lord. If they're watching online, if they're in this building, that someone's name came before them. I'm praying for them tonight, Lord. Praying that you would help them to break through and exercise love in that area, to go just 2 feet deeper. Lord, they've been doing their best to walk in love with those in their life. If they haven't, all they got to do is just say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, and just begin at that point. But they've been working towards walking in love towards everyone, but there's just this last 2 feet. I just don't think I can make it. Remind them, Lord, that you placed your love on the inside of them. And when the pressure from the outside begins to push in, that if we'll let the love of God begin to push out and exercise the love, that even the hardest situations, even the hardest hearts, will become pliable in your hand. Help us to be more like you, Lord, to love like you, to care for others like you, to recognize that the reason that we're all still here is because you're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. We don't want to keep you waiting, Lord. We want to change this world in this hour, in this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As our altar care team comes, if you need prayer for anything tonight, I want to encourage you to come down. Men, come to the men. Ladies, come to the ladies. If you want somebody to agree with you about anything specifically, they've been trained to believe God with you, to exercise their faith with you, and I believe you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Is there anything else, Pastor Ted? Anything? Guys, God bless you. Thanks so much for your attentiveness. We'll see you on Wednesday night for Hour of Power. We love you. Be sure you're praying for our Rhema students. They're starting back to school this week. Let's believe God for all of them to get a great start to their school year. God bless you. Have a great night.